We really do thank the Lord for His grace and His kindness. That when Adam and Eve sinned, thank you, son, God said that they would surely die. And they did, but they did not die immediately. For which all the world doesn't give God thanks, but it could give God thanks if it knew that God didn't immediately consign everyone to an eternal hell outside of His presence, because the hell, as we know it, was made for the devil and his angels. It was not made for man, but God sent fallen man there. And so we give God thanks that He had in His mind before the foundation of the world the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption that would redeem us from our sin, and would, though we die physically in this life, we would be consigned to an eternity in His presence. For the Bible says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So my non-resuscitation agreement says, if I fail in this life, let me go. Amen. I'm with my master. Don't resuscitate me. Amen. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week with no slides. I'm not going to keep you long today. I just want to read a psalm. And underscore, as I did last week, the goodness of God to all of His creation. God isn't only good to the Christian, the believer, as we would call it, as we know it in the New Testament. But God, according to Psalm 145, is good to all. His tender mercies are over all the works of His hands. Now, the reason that this is so significant is because the world doesn't get up every day and give God thanks and praise for raising them up another day. The world doesn't get up and thank God when it comes home at the end of the day for the strength to labor and to do all that that we were able to accomplish in a given day. So I want to read Psalm 104, and that's going to be our Thanksgiving message, as I would hope the world would take time to recognize that if you're still here today, it's by the grace of God. Amen. After what we've been through in the last 3 years, it's just the grace of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the scripture says. O Lord, my God, You are very great. Not man is great, but the Lord is great. God is great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment. Because we cannot see God, the scripture tells us about His nature, about His person, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. And because we cannot see God, the psalmist goes into what God does. So we cannot see Him physically, but we can see the effects of His works. We can see His mighty deeds. For He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters. Who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. God comes on clouds. He comes on the wings of the wind. At times people say, where is God? Well, He's everywhere. He's everywhere present. He's seen. Verse 4, who makes His angels spirits. Humans are made, angels, spirits are made. God is unmade and uncaused. He always has been and always will be. Who makes His angels spirits, His ministers a flame of fire. That answers the question that I had out of the book of Revelation when the creatures, fallen living creatures, fell down and gave thanks to God. I thought to myself, why are they giving thanks to God? They've never been redeemed. He didn't shed His blood for them. He didn't lay down His life for them. Why are the four living creatures giving thanks? Well, they're giving thanks to God because God created them to know Him. Hello? That's why God created us. He created us to know Him, to receive the revelation of God. And that's why He created the four living creatures. Verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth. The foundations of the earth, so that it should not be moved forever. I know this isn't something that we thank God every day for, but as soon as an earthquake comes about, then we start to realize that the foundation that we thought we were standing on, which is immovable, is not so. God said, once again, I will shake everything that can be shaken so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So we can see what foundation we find ourselves standing on. Well, the foundation of God is sure, and he hangs the earth on nothing. If you were to pan out and look from space, you would see the earth sitting in the midst of open air. We think we're smart. We can explain that the law of gravity does that in space-time. Well, the psalmists didn't know that. they didn't know that, and yet they stood in awe of God. So should we. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. And so the psalmist goes into Noah's time, the earth, when it stood in the water and out of the water, when the canopy of the waters was around the earth. And the water, the earth was in the water and out of the water. When the water stood above the mountains, verse 7, at your rebuke they fled, at the voice of your thunder they hastened away. We would say the thunder chased the water away. No, God did it. God did it. Not only did he do it, he does it. He does it. Verse 8, they went over, up over the mountains. They went down to the valleys, to the place you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. God cut a covenant in Genesis chapter 9 and said, I will no longer cover the earth with water and extinguish all human life as I've done. I'll no longer do that, but I place a boundary on the waters and said, no farther, thus far and no farther. We don't give God thanks for that until we experience a flood, like a tsunami. Verse 10, he sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. I love how the psalmist takes all that what we take for granted and gives it to God's, the working of his fingers. God is the one who causes the springs to go down into the valleys. Go out to talk to the people living in Colorado who are fighting for water right now. They have a drought in Colorado, and they're rationing water here. That you can't wash your lawns, can't water your lawns, can't wash your car, because the water is so scarce. California just got over their drought, and they've had some rain of late, and so forth. But God is the one who sends the springs of water into the valleys; they flow among the hills. Verse 10, verse 11, to give drink to every beast of the field. God is the one who supplies our every need. That's what Psalm 104 is all about. It's about the provision of God. And because God is so good to provide for us each and every day, we ought to give him thanks. Can you imagine Israel back in the day when this was written? Israel was the only nation that was thanking God for all of his provision. All the rest of the world, all the rest of the nations were partaking of God's provision and thanking their idols, thanking false gods. But Israel was the one to whom God had revealed himself as Jehovah, as the provider of all things. And so here the psalmist writes about it. One would be able to say today that the church of the living God, the nation whom he has called out of amongst the nations, are the ones whom God has revealed himself to. And we ought to give thanks to God day by day for all of his goodness, for all of his provision. And especially so here in the season of Thanksgiving. He gives drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Verse 12, by them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. Verse 13, he waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. God is the one who provides. In forests even untouched by man, God is the one who provides for the animals that live there. He's the one who watches over everything that creeps on the earth to provide and to satisfy what it needs. Verse 14, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle. Why? Because he put the cattle here. He feeds the cattle. He causes the grass to grow and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. The reason why we can grow it is because God sent the water there to grow it. The reason why we can harvest it is because God sent the rain from heaven to water the ground so that it can bring forth vegetation that we might have something to eat. And we say we did something great. We say we did something. Oh, no, no, it's the God of heaven who bountifully provides for us day by day that we might take a harvest out of the earth. Verse 15, and wine that makes glad the heart of man. You know, scientists are looking all over our solar system for a place where water thrives. They're looking at Enceladus, a moon of Saturn. They're looking at Europa, which is a moon of Jupiter. And they're saying there must be an underlayer ocean. There must be this subterranean ocean. So much they're sending, NASA sending a probe there. They're going to probe the earth. They're going to probe this moon to see if there's water there. But the earth is full of water. They can't find another place like this. They're like, this earth is unique. How interesting is that? Well, Isaiah says the Lord created the earth to be inhabited. Well, that means everything he causes the grass to grow and the animals to be able to drink and vegetation for man, and we give thanks to God. But they think it's strange. They think, oh my goodness, isn't this, it's just curious. I wonder how this happened. How did nature do this? They call it nature. We call it him, our Heavenly Father, who's provided all things for us. Wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. God is the one who causes all of these things to come forth out of the earth so that we might have what we need. Verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. They're full of sap which man uses for his own purpose. The cedars of Lebanon which he planted. They're full of sap because God did it. God planted those trees so that we might make use of the sap which they provide. Verse 17, where the birds make their nest and the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. You say, why are those high hills up there? Go up there and fall off. You'll find out they're not for man. They're for the rock badgers. They're for the wild goats. That's why they're there. Yeah. Yeah. God put them there for a reason. Verse 19, he appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it's night in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. Every day God causes the sun to rise in the east and set in the west. And every day we stare at God's faithfulness. What we ought to do is say, thank you, Jesus. You woke me up this morning, started me on my way, put the sun in the east, caused it to set in the west. Gave me strength to go about all of my day, for which I give you thanks and praise. Verse 21, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. You know, it's the Lord who causes the lion to catch the deer to eat. He provides. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. So the animals go do what they do, but so do we. We go out to the field and labor in the field, or the school, or the government, or what have you. Wherever you go, I'm in people's homes, cleaning carpet, laboring, amen. Come home tired, feeling good, amen. Sleep good tonight, amen. And giving God thanks because he enabled me to do what I do for another day, amen. Verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. He doesn't show us himself. He showed us his works. And you see the works of God, and then you see the heart of God. You say, well, why didn't he show us himself? Well, he told Moses, no man can see me and live. Not yet. You can't see me yet and live. You can't handle this. You can't look at light. If we can't look at a gamma ray, hello? If we can't survive a gamma ray burst, you know you can't survive seeing him. And we can't survive. We've never taken a gamma ray burst head on in this nation, in this world, I guess I should say. But hold on, our day may be coming. Hopefully not. Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. I love that. The earth is full of your possessions. Another scripture says the earth is full of the mercies of the Lord. Psalm 33 says that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's full of his goodness. What we do every day, we get up and go along our way. That's the goodness of God. God is good to all, but not all praise God for his goodness. Yet he is good to all. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great, they say we have yet to outline all of the animals that dwell in the sea. I said, we can't. It's just impossible. It's so much. They say so much of the sea has never even been mapped. We haven't even looked at it. I'm like, we haven't? We're trying to go to space. We haven't even done anything here. God help us. There's so much that God has there to reveal his nature and his person. Romans 1, verse 26, there the ship sail about, there is that Leviathan. We still don't know what Leviathan is or was, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you. These all wait. You know, if God didn't provide when you and I went to work, we couldn't make anything happen. We think we could, but no. These all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season. And in this season, Thanksgiving, we give God thanks. What you give them, they gather in. What you give them, if God doesn't build the house, Psalm 127, they labor in vain that build it. If God doesn't act first, you can't act. What you give them, they gather in, verse 28. That puts the onus on God. I love to read the scriptures to see what God is doing and what God has done. Because only based upon what he has done, I can do what I do. If God does nothing, there's nothing I can do. If the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The watchman wakes but in vain if the Lord doesn't guard the city, the scripture says. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. And that's the way it works. Make no mistake about it. If God doesn't open his hand, then you can't take from the goodness which he provides. Huh? And this is why we give God thanks. And why when companies call me day in and day out and say, you want to advertise? We want to make you better and everything. And I'm listening to that to them. And then I pose them a question. I say, oh, you want to make money off my good name? I'm out there doing good work, bro. Look here. What have you done? Oh, well, we want to. Yeah, I know. You want to make money off my good name. Oh, no, thank you. Click. Goodbye. Thank you. Don't call me, I'll call you. No. Verse 29, you hide your face, they are troubled. There it is. God hides his face. You can't find him. You can't see him. You can't call on him. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. There, oh, my God, my God, my God. There it is. Listen, the reason why you and I are breathing today is because God has willed it. The moment God wills it no more, you and I fall to the dust and we go back to dust. From dust you came, from dust you shall return. That's what God said to Adam and Eve. I don't know how you can be proud and read the scripture, because the scripture is very humbling. Listen, we can't do anything if God doesn't allow it. This is why some of these politicians, some of these people out here talk. I say, God is a merciful God. Because they be boasting about all kinds of things. I'm looking at them going, how's that? God is merciful. He's kind and he's long-suffering. Aren't you glad? You take away their breath. God owns your breath. Daniel 5:23. Daniel told Belteshazzar, who had called out and asked for the temple cups and to be served, and they were drinking. He was drinking wine out of the cups of the temple. which were holy and sanctified to be used to serve God. Him and his wives and his concubines, his servants, they were rejoicing in gods of silver and gods of gold. And Daniel said, the God who holds your breath in his hand, you have not praised him. You have not surrendered your life to him. God holds your breath. This night, he said, your life will be required of you. And that night, Belteshazzar died. That night. Why? Because God literally holds our breath in his hand. And when he squeezes and says no more, guess what? You cease to breathe. I cease to breathe. God is sovereign over all things. So he provides, he gives, and the Lord takes away. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. You know, I often wonder about stillborn births. You have a shell, you have the baby, but you have no spirit in it. If God doesn't send forth his spirit, we can produce the body, but God has to send forth his spirit. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Verse 31. This is where we need to be. May we glorify our Father who is in heaven. May his glory endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. For he looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. We would call that a volcano. They called it God touching the mountains. God touching the hills. And his touch is so hot that it causes them to smoke. David said, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. In other words, David tied his being to God's praise. Why do I exist? I exist to praise my maker who created me. This is why we exist. I live for your praise all the day long. That's why I'm here on the earth. I'm not here on the earth to do my own will, to do what I want to do, but I'm here to give praise to you who has given me life. David goes on and says, may my meditation be sweet to him. Amen. May my meditation, may that which my mind dwells upon be sweet to him. I liken it unto the Lord giving us that which to meditate upon. I just got finished reading Psalm 119 this morning. And his precepts, his testimonies, his commandments, so forth and so on, his judgments. For us to meditate on, and therefore we meditate on them. He gives, we receive. God first in all things. David said, may my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 37 says to delight thyself in the Lord. Did you know that you can delight yourself in God? You can take delight in God more so than any other thing on this earth. You can take delight in him, and he never loses. He never runs dry. He never runs out. The psalmist said that I will, my meditation may be sweet and I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, which means hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we give God thanks. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord to us. We thank you, O God, that everything we need comes from your hand. Yea, even every breath that we breathe comes from your hand. And when it is your will that we exist no longer, Lord, you will take our breath away and to dust we shall return. Therefore, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand and we give you thanks and praise for all the days that you have given us on the earth. Lord, according to your will, we live and move and have our being. And thus we pray, O God, Lord, for the praises of your name, that we would make mention that the name of the Lord is exalted, that we would glorify your name all of our days, that our meditation would be sweet, that we would be glad in the Lord, that we would honor you for all things that you've done for us, that you've given to us. So, Lord, let this day, let this hour, may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving, filled with the praise of God all the day long, and bless our times together, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen. 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 God bless you.